Good. So, I have given this kind of title to my talk, Thermal Stochastic Dynamics in Complex Systems. And I think that this is a good, in the spirit of a workshop, which is at the beginning of the special research program. The workshop is the relaxation dynamics of macroscopic systems, so more or less I am here, and the program is the principles of the dynamics of non-equilibrium systems. Okay, the content of my talk will be the following. Essentially, firstly, I will recall the basic interpolation, let's call it paradigm, because it became very, very, very large, very well-founded, and very productive for the mean field spin glasses. I consider always the Sherrington-Kirkpatrick model, which is the real thing to deal and the real challenge. And I will consider the problem of the extension of the interpolation paradigm to the thermal relaxation, so the stochastic dynamics of thermal relaxation. And then I will recall a set of basic tools of stochastic relaxation. This will be kind of a primer. As a matter of fact, because of lack of time, will be the advertisement for a primer on stochastic control theory, stochastic variational principles, minimal entropy production, the role of the adjoint function. So I will try to show, so to speak, that this importance function is very important. No. Always when... I recall a few basic facts which are relevant for the thermal extension of the paradigm. I recall also this, the basic features when there is a complexity about the relaxation, the role of frustration. So this is important because it is in the spirit of workshop at the beginning of the special program. So let me recall the basic interpolation paradigm for mean field spin glasses. Here the typical fact is that we do not only consider the original system, which I will describe immediately, but we consider also some auxiliary comparison system, which in a sense is a kind of goal, so to speak, a kind of target, a kind of the solution, for example, of the model. And the original system, the auxiliary system, will produce a full system, and they will let, according to some interpolation parameter, be interact with the two in a special way that I immediately recall. So the original system, of course, is the celebrated Sherrington-Kirkpatrick model, which still in many places is considered a solvable model. So there are sites I equal 1 to n, and there are easing spin configurations, sigma I equal plus or minus 1. The Boltzmann factor for the partition function is the following. So this is the usual interaction with external field. And then there is random two-body interaction, which I write in this form. So beta is the inverse temperature. Here there is appropriate normalization factor. And here there are some fields, kappa of sigma. Sigma are the configurations, and kappa are defined such that they are a family of unit Gaussian random variables, and then the joint covariances will be given, so the expectation of kappa sigma prime for two different configurations will be given by the square of the overlap between the two configurations, sigma prime. So, of course, it is a unit process because the average of the square is equal to 1. And because, the overlap is given by the usual expression, 1 over n, the sum here. So this is the overlap between two configurations. Here, of course, there is a square. We are interested in the limit when n goes to infinity of the... this is nothing but this is free energy here, so this is the free energy, but for irrelevant terms, divided by the number of sites, so it's free energy per site. I put here also quenched average, which essentially is not essential, because there is enough self-averaging in this model so that one could even skip the expectation here. And the main result, which is it is many pieces, Guerra, Doninelli, Guerra, and Talagran, with a very nice paper on Annals of Mathematics, January 2006, so that this limit does exist, and it is given precisely by the well-known Parisi representation. So, in a sense, many people who were mathematically oriented and thought that Parisi method did not have any meaning, now they see that it is only that they did not understand, but if one understands correctly, then the Parisi representation is the true representation for the free energy. For the moment, still, we do not have the complete results for the full ultrametricity. Okay, what is the comparison? For the comparison system, essentially, I like to follow not my original frame, but this extended variational principle of Weizmann, Sims, and Starr, which is much simpler in a sense. So the comparison system will be described by some configuration space, and this is only denumerable configuration space. We will see particular examples later. The W alpha is a system of random weights. So for the moment, I say only that they are positive. They could be random, of course. There could be also quenched randomness here. Then there are random fields, such that for each configuration, we have this capital kappa bar of alpha. And for each site and for each configuration alpha, we have eta I alpha. This will be independent, centered at the unit Gaussian, and it will be defined some overlap between configurations, P alpha alpha primed, normalized for the sake of the simplicity, so that along the diagonal it is equal to 1, could have even random features. Depend on some additional quenched random variables. And the k-bar fields are defined such that their covariances are given by the square of the overlap for the auxiliary system, while the eta fields will be independent, of course, for different sites, II primed, and then the covariance will be given by the p, so the first power of the overlap. It is possible to arrange everything so that, of course, these matrices must be positive definite.
Here, the kappa and the eta are Gaussian. So.
Yes, yes. Of course, the Gaussian system looks very simple, but then you have the sum under the partition function, so they become a sum of exponential and so on, so it is complicated. Now, what is the full... The full system. So the configuration is a product of the sigma and alpha configurations. There will be interpolating parameter, which usually is called the T, but now I call S for obvious aesthetic reasons. And so this is a Boltzmann partition function. It will be the sum over configurations. There are these a priori weights. And then there is the Boltzmann factor for the kappa and the kappa bar fields. So this will depend on sigma, and this will depend on alpha, with some weight, which is square root of S. So S will be interpolating between two completely different situations. And then the goal is to see that this interpolation, in a sense, is simple, because it will give rise always to the same free energy in the infinite volume limit. Then there is also this interaction. So the eta, as a function of the alpha, will act as random external fields on the sigma I. And here there is the weight is square root of 1 minus s. It's convenient to put the weights with the square root so that the covariance will be linear in s and 1 minus s. Also here there is the obvious interaction with the external field. What happens? It happens that, of course, that if we take s equal to 1, then the interactions between the two systems here will be completely suppressed. And here, for the partition function, we have a factorization. So this partition function at s equal 1 will be the product of the original partition function for the sigma system, multiplied by a kind of a partition function for the alpha system. So in this region, so at s equal 1, in this boundary, at s equal 1, there is factorization of the two systems. Why? While when s is equal to 0, then these terms will disappear. In particular, the kappa of s, which contains, so to speak, the two-body interaction, does not appear. And the interaction here with the external field eta will take full strength. But you see immediately that it is very simple for the sigma system, because the sigma system is only subject to some external field, which is h plus this eta. They are different for different sites, but there is no two-body interaction, so the sum over sigma when s is equal to 0 can be done in a very simple way. Now, even in the mathematical literature, in some places there are so-called of basic Gaussian inequalities, some call Slepian type theorems, and this will give that the average of the log of this interpolating partition function is decreasing in S. I will recall elementary proof of this at the end. So that in particular, this expression I divide also by 1 divided by n, so to normalize per site, when S is equal to 1, is less than this expression when S is equal to 0. So if we take everything into account, when S is equal to 1, then of course we have this plus the contribution coming from the alpha system. This contribution coming from the alpha system I put here, of course, with a minus sign. When here S is equal to 0, then the summations with respect to the sigma variables can be done explicitly. You get for each site, you get twice the hyperbolic cosine of beta h plus eta I. These random variables I call ci, so that at the end the contribution at s equals 0 will be given by this term here. And what is nice, of course, this is universal bound, so it will hold for any auxiliary system that you take. And of course, the rule of the game is to take a good auxiliary system, and we will see immediately, by using the Reed-Arwell cascades, that there is an auxiliary system such that this bound has, in the right-hand side here, exactly the Parisi trial function. So that at the end, it will be very natural to take the infimum with respect to the Parisi order parameter to have a good bound. What about the Gaussian inequalities? These are very well known. You assume that you have some Boltzmann factor with some Gaussian random variable A gamma. Gamma will be the configuration space. These are weights. Now, with the same weights, you put different random variables B of gamma in such a way that the variances along the diagonal, they are exactly the same. While the covariances off diagonal, there is a kind of domination, so that point-wise, gamma-gamma prime, these are bigger than b-gamma-b-gamma prime. If these are bigger, then this quenched average is less. The proof is very simple. It's only by interpolation. One will interpolate in a very natural way, take the derivative, and see that it is it is positive. Now, this universal bond is very interesting because there exist auxiliary systems, alpha W alpha P, such that it has the form given by the Parisian representation. We recall this basic fact for the sake of completeness. I mean, in the paper of Eisenman, Sims and Starr, they mention this, but they do not prove. Starr gave a proof in some lectures in Canada, which appeared for a few hours on the web, and then they disappeared. But in any case, I mean, it is known that it is true, and everything can be said in a very simple way. What is the configuration space? The configuration space is given by multi-index, alpha 1, alpha 2, alpha k. K is connected with the levels of replica symmetry breaking. And the multi-index, alpha 1 will be equal 1, 2, and so on, alpha 2 equal 1, 2, and so on. The weights must be expressed in the following way. First of all, there are numbers which are connected with the Parisi functional order parameter. 0 less than m1, less than m2, less than mk, less than 1. And here the weight, the a priori weight, wa, will have a kind of hyperfine structure of this type. So there is a Poisson point process. So alpha 1 will say first point of the process, second point, and so on. And this y alpha 1 divided by m1 will appear in this Boltzmann factor. So m1, in a sense, has a role, so to speak, of temperature, so to speak, in this expression. Then there is a correction to this level structure here, which is given by y alpha 1, alpha 2. These are independent copy. For each alpha 1, you have a copy. And alpha 2 will give first level, second level, and so on. So each level will be split into a sequence of other level, and so on, up to the end. Each of these alpha, this y, is a Poisson point process, which is uniquely characterized by the fact that the distribution of the occupation number of points in some interval a, b, is given by Poisson distribution of this type, where the coefficient of the Poisson distribution is the weight of the interval a, b, according to the exponential measure. So it is exactly, spectroscopists will understand as a kind of hyperfine structure. Each level splits into other more refined lines, and then there will be further splitting, and so on. So this is a kind of... Now I recall also the overlap. Overlap is given by ultrametric structure. Here it is so it is zero if the first digits are different. So you look at the first. If they are different, they are zero. Then if the first two are equal, but the second is different, then they take some value q1. If the first two are equal, but the other is different, some higher value q2, and so on, up to 1 when the two configurations are the same. q0, q1, qk are increasing here. And then it is a miracle, but one immediately see that, for example, one of the terms, the first term here there is a Gaussian, so calculation can be done explicitly. It is given exactly by the one of the terms of the Parisian representation is the integral of q x of q in dq, where the Parisian order parameter x of q takes the values m1, m2, mk in each interval 0, q1, q1, q2, qk minus 1, qk, which is equal to 1. So one can immediately see the following. And also, if we consider the other terms where the hyperbolic cosines were involved, Then one sees immediately that is exactly the value of the Parisi auxiliary functions when q is equal to 0, y is equal to h, for the order parameter x, which has been introduced here, and for the beta value of the inverse temperature. The Parisi auxiliary function, as it is well known, f of q and y, is a function of parameter q between 0 and 1, y on the real line. It has a final boundary condition, f of 1 and y, given by the logarithm of the hyperbolic cosine of b dot y. It satisfies the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation. This is a kind of a programming equation of stochastic control theory. In fact, there is a very rich stochastic content in this. If the function is taken when f is 0 and h, then you have this. So that with this choice of the auxiliary system, you have exactly the bound given by Parisi. Now it is clear that so you see that 1 over n average of log of z tilde s, you can understand this, of course it is a free energy, but for the sign for the whole system, where the Hamiltonian of course will depend on the interpolating parameter s. So this is f tilde of s here will be the interpolating free energy. Now, since 1 over n, this is decreasing, so there is a minus sign here, so the interpolating free energy is increasing. Now, you can immediately embed everything. Here n is finite, and the auxiliary system also has a finite levels of symmetry breaking. You can embed in a thermal relaxation scheme, essentially in a canonical way. Essentially, there is one time constant, I mean, which will fix the scale of time which is left. So, stochastic dynamics for the sigma alpha system in contact with the heat bath at the temperature 1 over beta. Many considerations about the thermal relaxations are already present in the Mazar-Parisi Virasoro book, even to the effect of constructing the equilibrium situation. Okay, now we have essentially this kind of picture where I rescale the time here so that the time t equal infinity will appear here, and here there is the interpolation s equals 0, s equals 1. There are obvious monotonicity properties, because the free energy with respect to s here is increasing going along this line for the reasons that were mentioned before, while the free energy going along these lines is decreasing for purely thermodynamic reasons. So this is the first principle. And I guess, I mean, the calculations are underway that the average free energy along this line as a function of s will be increasing in S even if still did not reach the thermodynamic equilibrium. Okay. Now, what is...
How do you define the free energy at a given time?
The free energy?
At time t, how are you defining it?
Thermodynamics, but I will arrive. I will arrive immediately. Here there will be the equilibrium of free energy, so to speak. But these are for generic states. One has a freedom to choose the initial state here. Of course, it will take so that it does not change too much with S here. And what is relevant, of course, is that the situation at S equals 0 and at S equals 1, in the limit where the sigma system has an infinite number of sites, and in the limit where the auxiliary system is taken to optimize the Parisi functional, then the two free energy per sites here and here, they will be the same. In the limit, they will be the same. So you see that there is because of the monotonicity, there is a tendency, so to speak, of this region to shrink along the S. So only the T behavior will be effective. So because of the basic theorems explained before, as n goes to infinity and the system, the auxiliary system, goes to the optimal Parisi system, auxiliary system, then the static equilibrium structure receives a kind of locking, so that this is shrinks essentially to the same value independently of S. So you expect that it will go. And here you can use the monotonicity, for example, the behavior with respect to the volume and so on. Okay, so the basic hint is that it is convenient to work with the full interpolating structure, because in particular it gives a very, very simple behavior for the sigma system at S equals zero, so which must be the same as here. Okay, so now we go to the primer, which will give also the answer to what Andrea was asking, but unfortunately, I mean, I cannot. So it will be advertisement for the primer, which will be published soon. So basic tools for the thermal relaxation dynamics. And also, I mean, I will give some idea of the emergence of the fissures due to complexity. Complete primer should include many things. For the moment, let me consider only discrete systems. They are not very popular in theoretical physics because for historical reasons. But in any case, you can approximate continuous systems with discrete systems and essentially vice versa. So there should be elements of stochastic kinematics. So we will make for the relaxation dynamics, we do not follow, of course, Boltzmann program because it is too difficult. So we consider the Langevin scheme, so to speak, so phenomenological scheme where relaxation to equilibrium is given by some Markov process with the Fokker-Planck equations and so on. So there will be transition probability, Markov property, the density, so the occupation of the sites. Then there will be forward and backward drifts. These also do not appear clearly in the mathematical literature because mathematical literature tends to put more emphasis on the stochastic flow, not on the stochastic process. So that when you consider the stochastic process, it is very natural to consider backward and forward Fokker-Planck equation. Typical examples are the stochastic process on Z2, which are they are generalization for the easing systems. Here also it is important to distinguish in a very clear way processes which describe, for example, some physical phenomenon, for example, thermal relaxation dynamics. In this case, the drift, so the driving, the Fokker-Planck equation for the processes, will be given by some physical law. Consider, for example, the Langevin equation. But it is also interesting, and this usually is not done in theoretical physics, to consider controlled processes where drifts are given outside. There is some cost function, so to speak, and you try to drive the system so that it is stochastic, so the driving will only have effect on the averages, such that, for example, the cost, cost will be minimum. For the moment, I consider only thermal relaxation. So system in contact with one thermal reservoir at temperature T. I recall also that in physics one can speak only about temperature of a thermostat, not of a body in general, but body in contact with the thermostat. The static properties, of course, are very well known, so there is a definition of entropy, internal energy, in this statistical ensemble point of view. The free energy, you can reproduce first and second principle of thermodynamics, what are the thermal equilibrium states, where the free energy in general is takes a minimum, Boltzmann Gibbs distribution, and so on. And you can talk about the dynamic properties, so the time entropy production, the time evolution of the free energy. Free energy is defined also with the usual definition outside of the equilibrium states, and if you have a thermal evolution where there is only the contact with the reservoir and there is no intervention of work of energy coming from outside, then of course there will be free energy will be always decreasing during the evolution. There is also kind of fluctuation dissipation theorem also in the discrete case. And then the second principle will give rise to the Boltzmann distribution. You can write everything for the Ising system. Of course, I mean, I told that this is advertisement for the primer that has been written together with my co-worker on scientific problems, because he works on many other things, Roberto D'Autilia, and I hope that the full version will be soon on the archive. So I recall only few things. For example, the importance function. In some seminars I said the importance function is very important, or the adjoint function, which of course does exist in the literature, but it had a big role in the old theory of diffusion of slow neutrons. I mean, so you can find this. It is connected with the idea of smooth conditioning for discrete process. Usually conditioning is sharp. You condition with respect to the event such that the process in some place at some time. But you can have also a kind of smooth conditioning. This will be related to the Schrödinger, so-called Schrödinger processes. Schrödinger had maybe the idea of quantum mechanics, but here we have a purely relaxation problem. There are versions of the local and global stochastic variational principles for free energy functionals. And one immediately can write, of course, the dynamics for the complete system made by the density, rho, and the importance function. So rho is the occupational probability for the statistical ensemble, and f is the importance function. In this way, all relaxation dynamics can be put in a there is a symplectic structure and a symplectic Hamiltonian form. So essentially, it is strange that relaxation becomes very, very similar to mechanics, to classical mechanics. There is a symplectic structure, and the evolution equations are Hamiltonian form. And as a result, I mean, the dissipative dynamics, which we feel it is, of course, is not invariant under time reversal, in particular relaxation to equilibrium. As a matter of fact, if you consider the complete system, so the occupation and the importance function, then it turns out to be time reversal invariant. I mean, we do not feel time reversal invariance because we take as importance function the f equal to 1, so to speak, at the end. So if you make a time reversal and take f equal to 1 in one case and f equal to 1 in the other case, then the laws of the processes, the original process and the inverted process, will be different. But if you consider also the additional the importance function, then by a change of rho f, and which will go into in the proper way into rho prime f prime, then you have a complete time reversal invariance, and this will be good also for the problem of the arrow time and so on. I mean, in a sense, relaxation processes do not give the arrow time. Complexity, of course, will give rise to well-known effects that have been discussed also in the other talks, that there are many slowly relaxing mode. So this primer will be soon will be available. And here is advertisement. And in the following, I will sketch some very, very simple considerations about the importance function, the slow modes and frustration, and the stochastic content of the Parisi theory. So for the importance function, so I mean it is a Macking, it is the Mackingale associated to the process, of course. So general setting will be the following: you put you consider t time. Usually it will be taken in some observation interval, T0, T1, and then you take a Markov stochastic process Z of T, which takes values on some denumerable set, 1, 2, and so on. So the rho I of T as a function of T will be the occupation probability at time T, so the probability that the process is at the site I at time t. Then, of course, you have a forward transition probability. I use the Dirac notation so that the t prime, the time t prime here, and t would be such that t is bigger than t prime. So, the according to the usual notation, also in the analog of in quantum mechanical systems. So the evolution will go in this direction. I prime is the starting point, I is the final point. So this is the probability that the system will be in I at time t if it was in I prime at time t prime. Of course, there is a kind of stochastic continuity. There is a conservation of a probability because it should go to some place. So the sum over I of this is equal to 1. There is the forward transport of the occupation probability, which is given by this stochastic streaming of P. And as a basic fact, there is a Kolmogorov condition, so Markov property, that if T prime is less or equal T double prime less or equal to T prime less or equal to T, then you can sum over all possibilities and have the transition probability. So this is strictly non-quantum mechanical system. This importance function played an important role in the theory of slow neutron diffusion. We will see immediately why. It is the adjoint function of rho. So exactly like a rho will evolve forward in time according to P, then the importance can be evaluated backward in time according to the Martingale equation. So that here is the final time, and you make a sum with respect to the occupations in the final time. So this will be the evaluation of the importance function at each time. Now it is important. There is a whole. Unfortunately, I do not have the time to go into such details. But there is a whole general view about stochastic variational principles, such that for the density and the importance function, you can write stochastic variational principles for some controlled processes, which do not have in general the drift given by the physical evolution, such that they characterize the values of rho and f. These are a kind of generalization of the Onsager more probable path and so on. All this philosophy of fluctuations around the stochastic evolution of the system, which can be expressed in terms of variational principles. We had intense activity some years ago about that, but I think they are interesting because once you have a stochastic variational principle, you have immediately comparison, the possibility of comparison comparison argument. And these essentially are, according to the symplectic view that I gave before, are a generalization of the Lagrange variational principles of classical dynamics. Let me recall also what is smooth final conditioning. Smooth final conditioning. For a generic process, it is completely characterized if for any function of G, which is a function of the positions at time, let's say S1, S2, Sn, for any n, for any choice of the times, you have the definition of these averages. So essentially you have the distributions, the multi-time distributions. It is what the mathematicians call a broad sense process, but essentially is the stochastic process. So you have the expectation of all these objects. Now you take some importance function at T1, which is bigger than zero, also with some obvious normalization that you will see immediately. Of course, since it is ruled by the Martingale equation, it will be evaluated to be positive at any time before. Now, what is the smooth conditioned process, Z prime? It is defined in the following way. You assume that the averages of the same function G here for the smooth conditioned process, Z prime here at the same times, is exactly equal to the average of the old function for the original process Z, and you insert here the importance of that you give to some point Z of T1 which is reached in that moment. So essentially it is usual, structure of probability theory. You take some initial probability space and evaluating probability of the trajectories for the process, you decide that if the process arrives to some point or to some other point, then you give more importance to these trajectories and so on. So it is a deformation of the probability given to the trajectories according to the point where they arrive. Now, clearly it was connected with the slow neutron diffusion, because when you have this slow neutrons diffusing, okay, you have the neutrons, but then what is relevant is that the fate that they have, so that at some point they arrive near the nuclei where they are absorbed, and these are the only ones which are relevant for the simplest case for the process. So it is clear that what is relevant is the Z1 process, not the Z process in this case. Okay, but for the connection with the physical considerations, what is relevant here? Of course, it is the role in the stochastic variational principles, which is useful for comparison argument, and also the role in the expression of the time reversal invariance for relaxation process. One immediately will find that the density rho prime for the process rho prime is equal to the old density multiplied by the evaluation of the importance function at the same point, of course at the same time, So the new is given by rho f. If you recall the Schrödinger formulation, quando this is analog of psi bar psi to give the density in quantum mechanics. But here, of course, it's completely different, because this is the density of the original process. This is the importance that you give to the process. If you multiply the two, then you have the density of the conditioned process. Okay, let me also recall other very well-known things, which are the long-time relaxation modes connected with the frustration. So essentially, when you take a two-level system, relaxation dynamics is completely determined. There is an overall time scale, of course, and then which I put here as a TOA, as a time scale. And then for the Fokker-Planck equation, you write with the forward generator here, you write that the x will be the xx prime at the values plus or minus 1. So it is dt over rho, this is the master equation, the Fokker-Planck, I mean, the stochastic evolution equation, this is the forward generator, and this is the way how density propagates. There is a canonical expression for this for the generator, since I mean this is a very simple system, so there can be two conditions for x prime and two conditions for x, so it is a 2x2 matrix. This is the general expression where m is essentially the average density in this moment. So I write it in the form of hyperbolic tangent of some effective magnetic field. And so this will give the process. If you have a controlled process, then the m here can be any function, no t. You control the process such that you try that it gets some average given by m. Of course, it will slow down to have this average. If you change, then it will go up. So it will be controlled process. If you have the contact of the spin with the thermal reservoir, of course, this will be the hyperbolic tangent. Beta is 1 divided, is the inverse temperature, and H is the magnetic field acting on the spin. If you have an Ising system, then the generator will be the direct sum of generators. Of course, you take the spins evolving in a parallel way because nature... So happens in the nature. Of course, the generator will be the sum of the generators, direct sum, in the sense that you get a big matrix, and each piece will act on the spins in one side and the other side, and so on. Of course, the effective magnetic field now will be also a function of the distributions of the other spins. For example, if you have, let's say, Curie-Weiss model, then the effective field on some site I will be the sum over all spins outside I divided by n, if you have a mean field. Analogously in Sk, but of course here you have J. Now, very well known, the effect of frustration and complexity is clearly visible at the level of three coupled spins. So everybody, I think, tried to diagonalize the case of when you have three spins, 1, 2, 3. Of course, there will be big matrix, but there is enough symmetry that you immediately, by hand, diagonalize it, and you see immediately for the transfer you solve everything for the transfer matrix. You see immediately that essentially there is, for the generator, there is one slowly relaxing state if there is no frustration, and there are two eigenvalues which are fast, which have a very fast relaxation. If you take a frustrated case, then I mean this is everybody should do this calculation and do this diagonalization. So for example, plus plus minus, then you find that this eigenvalue which is fast becomes slow, so there is a tendency to jam, so to speak, the slow modes. Okay, and the same for more spin. So when we consider the big system, the sigma alpha system, how the sigma spins evolve in this stochastic realization is clear. But and of course the effective magnetic field acting on each spin will depend also on the status of the alpha system. For the evolution of the alpha system, this is of generalized random energy model type, which also has been studied in the literature, and of course the associated thermal stochastic process has generators which will depend on the status of the sigma system, because the sigma system, the eta, you remember that there is the piece of interaction sigma I eta I. Of course the eta I make action on sigma I as some external field, but the sigma I make action on the alpha system because they change the effective energy involved. Now, the combined alpha, you write everything. Now, what is absolutely is not clear is how the it is always a slow, it is always exponential relaxation for very, very general ergodic reason. How the, when you go to the infinite volume limit and you go also to the auxiliary alpha system, which will go to the Parisi situation, how it will give rise to different behavior which are not exponential. I mean, this situation is not completely clear, because one should have, I mean, I make a little criticism, one should have a very clear idea about what are the pure states of the system, and one should try to put into the auxiliary alpha system the pure states, the system which gives rise to the pure states. Otherwise, one has some behavior which is slow, but for a different non-thermodynamic reason, so to speak. Okay, what is the moral of the story? What David was talking to me this morning at Les Souches, if I remember, it was 2000, or I mean around. My talk was on the first applications of the interpolation method. I mean, we had discovered this method and we were trying to apply it. David Sherrington at the end asked me, it was a good question, but without, so asked me, what about the dynamics? And so the reply was we still do not understand the static equilibrium part, and it is difficult to say something about the relaxation properties. Now, many years, and they were full years, I mean, they were very important years for the establishment of the equilibrium. Now, equilibrium properties are quite well understood in the sense that Parisi representation has been rigorously established for the free energy. Of course, there are important pieces missing, and these important pieces are very relevant for the relaxation behavior. The full ultrametric structure for the overlaps, of course, it is clear that it should be true, but the formal proof has not been given. It is clear, because, I mean, for the moment, results rely more on free energy, which is a kind of a thermodynamic quantity, but the ultrametric structure for the overlaps, it has not been proven. This is a property of the states, not only of the thermodynamic variables. So, some additional. On the other hand, for example, some very general properties, Guirlanda-Guerra identities, are known, and they go toward the ultrametric structure. So I think that this will be also reached in next months. The big real problem is decomposition in pure states. You see that here I wrote a full ultrametric structure for the overlap distribution. I did not write ultrametric structure for the pure states, because this is for the moment not completely clear. It's not true, for example, for the auxiliary system that each alpha is pure state, of course, because it does not satisfy the second principle. So the decomposition in pure states should be understood. Maybe we have to spend more nights in reading Mézard, Parisi Virasoro book, in order to really understand what do they mean by pure state. I never say that what they say is without any meaning, because I told you that people who said it is without meaning that they were immediately wrong, because for free energy it was... Okay, now I'm very sorry that the reply is still essentially the same. But at the beginning of the program of the Newton Institute, the general frame, the tools, so the primers of the primer, I think should have been given in this talk. On the other hand, I have been asked to talk about relaxation properties, and so it was a duty to. What is not included here, but also is extremely interesting, has never been published completely, is the rich stochastic structure of the Parisi representation. There are also variational principles. There is also dual representation for Parisi theory, because you instead of putting Parisi variational Parisi functional parameter, one can put the conjugate parameter coming from the variational principles. The variational principles have a kind of, so to speak, generalized Lagrange structure, which gives dual parameters. So there is a dual representation, which is also interesting. There are also many comparison theorems. One can study asymptotic property and so on. And of course, if there will be future workshop somewhere, then we will report about that. And this is what I wanted.
If the Parisi solution is sort of really fully under control, as it were, shouldn't it be possible to obtain the correction in the large end limits to the free energy per spin? You know, we know from your proof that
yes.
It gets it right in the thermodynamic limit, but what is the next correction?
Yeah, so this, of course, this problem is relevant from a physical point of view, and the solution is in page 4 or 5 of Landau book. Away from the critical line, the corrections are Gaussian according to some proper rescaling. So it can be proven that in the large temper, in the beyond the Almeida Tauless line, the fluctuations of the free energy in the infinite volume limit are Gaussian, so they give the correction to this infinite volume limit. In the Parisi region, things are much more complicated, and we do not know the answer of what kind is the correction. We have examples in other models where the corrections are not Gaussian. So I don't know whether Fabio Toninelli or Luca De Sanctis are willing to add something about that. So in some cases it can be, in the spirit of kind of a nonlinear central limit theorem. So firstly, free energy per site, it has a good behavior almost surely. And this is the law of large numbers. Of course, non-linear, without independence. The corrections are given by central limit theorem in some cases. But for example, it is known even in simple model, in the random energy model, Anton Bovier found a region where the correction is not Gaussian. For very, very large temperature, of course, it is Gaussian. But then it goes down, and you begin to feel, so to speak, the replica symmetry breaking in the fluctuations.
So you had this picture with the rectangle and the parameter S and
yes.
Parameter T. So on one line, S equal 1, I guess, it's just a group of spins which do not interact.
Yes.
And so in that line, you must converge to the thermodynamic free energy. On the other line, you have the original model. And but
along T, you are far from equilibrium.
Yes, along T, but at the end, at T infinity, you converge surely at equilibrium. On the other hand, you know that if you take a model with three-spin interaction, You will not converge to equilibrium on the S equal.
I mean it is the fact that each spin feels the interaction of the external field, but then the external field has its own, the alpha system has its own dynamics, so the effective interaction of the spin is not, of course, just, it is exactly like you say. The sigma system in itself has a very simple dynamic, but it is in the atmosphere of the alpha system, and the dynamics of the alpha system is a kind of generalized random energy model, but is not trivial, of course. I mean, there is something to pay. I mean, I said that it is convenient to consider the whole interpolating structure, and of course you pay that something becomes simple because it is factorized, and something becomes simple because the sigma systems have only external field, but then the alpha system is not real. So it must be worked. On the other hand, I was fascinated by the fact that if you take the 4 points of the 4 points of the square that I wrote, when n goes to infinity and the auxiliary alpha system goes to Parisi, then it shrinks. Because on this for the t equals 0 side, you can work on the initial state. You can put the same initial state. For the t infinity side, you have the theorem, static theorem, and then it shrinks. Of course, the evolution will be, I mean, we know from the other talks and from the talks we will follow, the evolution will be quite complicated.
In the study of physicists, of dynamics, of spin glasses, basically the basic objects are correlation and response, which do appear, as Ton was also mentioning, in a kind of Langevin description. So, say, for spherical model, they appear in a kind of effective noise, which has non-trivial time correlations, and an effective memory kernel.
Yes.
Now, why not to interpolate with what you get in this kind of dynamical description instead of making an interpolation which is inspired by what you do in the equilibrium case?
No, surely it would be worked. I must say that my presentation was very, very conservative. I always had in mind the evolution of the essential of the free energy, because it is simplest to think in physical terms. But of course one can consider also this memory effect and...
Well, I think you've given everybody something to think about, and there is a good program going on here for six months, and there are lots of mathematicians around, so hopefully, and those other buildings, so hopefully we can expect a great deal of progress. Thank you.